So right now, very happy to welcome Kathleen Unger to the show. She's the president and CEO of Vote Riders. It's a nonpartisan, not-for-profit organization. It's the first and leading organization that focuses exclusively on voter ID. They inform and help people to secure their voter IDs to make sure they can vote. Kathleen, how are you?
Very well. Good to talk with you, and to I've been enjoying listening to your show.
Thank you, Kathleen, and thank you for being on and making time. And the work you're doing at Vote Riders is unique and so desperately needed. And we'll talk. I want to talk about a little bit how you started this organization, but at some point get to Chris Kobach and the voter, I call it Voter Suppression Commission, but you can call it the Voter Fraud Commission, and what's going on and the concerns there based on your work. And again, you're nonpartisan. You're just making sure people have the right to vote and have the wherewithal. So tell people, about 5 years ago you started this. What was the genesis of Vote Riders?
Well, Dean, so my passion has been election protection since 2002. I'd done a lot of volunteer work. I'm a lawyer by background, and so I did a lot of volunteer work with existing terrific organizations. But after the 2010 election, which was a landslide election, I just knew that there would be a tsunami of these voter ID laws heading our way, mm-hmm. and I knew that these other organizations focus essentially on advocacy and litigation. And it was just an outrage to me that people were going to lose their right to vote because of these complicated, time-consuming, and expensive laws. So that was the impetus. And so I've been on the case since early 2011 and founded Vote Riders in early 2012.
You're really on the forefront of this, because I don't even know when voter ID laws made it to the national consciousness. Now, obviously, we all know about them, but you were right. When the Republicans took control of so many state legislatures and governorships, they began doing cookie-cutter conservatism, which is just copy. Like, some institute will come up with this. It could be Heritage Foundation, whatever one. And they started one after the other. And I think right now, is there 33 states with some form of voter ID law?
Right. Actually, there are 32 with laws in force, and two more states' laws are going into effect next year. Mm. And there are an additional 15 states that are considering either new voter ID laws or more restrictive voter ID laws.
And before we get into some of them, I'd love you to share some of the stories of people you helped and what people have to navigate through. A listener called up earlier, and some people, and he was a progressive, and others have said, what if we did a federal national ID system that everyone, you have to have an ID to vote, but it's the same, it's standardized, and the federal government creates a fund saying, here's how you could, it's pay for it this way, and the system is simple, and if you don't have the birth certificate you need or whatever, they will pay for that. Would that work at all, or what are your concerns if that was ever implemented?
Yeah, I was listening to that part of your show when you had the conversation with this gentleman, and I agree with you that it only would work if the government would do what Vote Riders is doing, which is to say they've got a lot more resources. So the most difficult part of this we find is actually finding the voters who need the help. I should back up and say there are two main types of voters who are impacted by this, and overall, the people who are affected are primarily those who don't have a current driver's license in their state. Okay. So you've got literally tens of millions of American citizens who do not have a government-issued photo ID with their current name. All right, we know mm-hmm. that from studies. We know that from expert testimony at trials challenging these laws. But what is completely unrecognized is the something we discovered on the ground in Texas after the November 2014 election, and then was later corroborated by a study conducted by Rice University and the University of Houston. Bottom line, almost 10% of registered voters are so confused and intimidated by these laws that they don't vote even though they have the requisite ID. So you've got all these people who don't have a valid ID in their state, and then you've got an equal, if not greater, number who do, but are just overwhelmed by the you know, the complicated aspects of this. And so coming back to your point about
national ID.
Say a national ID. You know, it's kind of every voter has has their own little novella story. It's a little soap opera. What's the story with them? And so it requires really one-on-one kind of feedback and help to these folks. So to just say, okay, well, you can get your free voter ID, that's what goes on in these states now. The problem is what you need to do and what it costs to get all the underlying documents in order to get the free ID. And clearly these people by and large don't have they don't have transportation,
right?
Transportation. So there are so many pitfalls to it but we are talking about absolutely the most fundamental right. It's the very foundation of our country is the right to vote. So
Kathleen, yeah. In a nutshell, can you explain to people, and then I'd love to get in a story or two, because your website really documents, and the website is voteriders.org. It's voteriders, one word, .org, or they're on Twitter at voteriders, which is, again, one word. So can you tell people in a nutshell, what does voteriders do for people in need?
Okay. So, and let me just, if I may, voteriders is VOTERIDERS.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
thank you very much.
Sure.
So what we do is... We answer people's questions, and we give them the assistance they need in order to get the documents that they need so that they can get there and to help them get transportation to go to the DMV, wherever it is that one needs to get the voter ID. And so... You know, what's interesting is let's just talk about a birth certificate. Getting a certified copy of your birth certificate or any of the legal, vital papers showing, all the changes in your name since your birth, in most states requires that you submit a copy of your photo ID. It's an absolute catch-22, all right? You're trying to get the certified copy of your vital legal papers in order to get... a photo ID, and they want a photo ID in order to get. It's the same thing with getting a replacement Social Security card. You just are blocked everywhere you turn. So we help people on the phone through our helpline, which is 844-338-8743. It's toll free. So we get calls from people every day all over the country who answer their questions and help them. And if they need extra help on the ground, then one of our partner organizations and or one of the terrific pro bono lawyers who are helping us in this endeavor. So VoteRiders works with people, with citizens, voters directly, mm-hmm. and primarily through partner and collaborating organizations, which are, all over the country.
Right. And I'm chatting with Kathleen Unger, the president of VoteRiders, a nonpartisan, not-for-profit organization that helps people understand the voter ID laws in their states and then helps them get the documentation they need to get a voter ID. And on the website, voteriders.org, there are countless stories of people you help, like... There was one guy, Steve Pasowitz, a veteran who had been homeless for a period of time and was living in his truck and didn't have the $14 to reapply for a driver's license, which he needed to get the voter ID. And your organization, in this case, helped him with this. Is that a typical story? Like, it's financial help? Is it also driving them to, like, the county capital? They don't have transportation. If that's where they get a copy of their birth certificate?
In the case of Steve, and this is a really important point that you brought up, these states they'll offer a quote free voter ID mm-hmm. if you don't have one of the limited list types of IDs that are acceptable. However, let's say, in the, as in the case of Steve, he had a driver's license, an out-of-state driver's license in Wisconsin. An out-of-state driver's license is not a valid ID to vote. So it was a choice between his having a valid driver's license where so that he could, work on his job, and which required transportation, or, giving up his driver's license in order to get the free ID so that he would be able to vote. So vote riders, took care of it for him. We paid for the Wisconsin driver's license, and made sure we got him to the DMV in order to get the ID. So, but there's another case that's on our site. A U.S. Marine Corps veteran, Dennis Hatton,
yeah,
was born in Arkansas in the early 60s, and he moved to Illinois and then to Wisconsin to take care of ailing family members. He was living at a shelter for homeless veterans when he attended a vote writer's presentation about voter ID requirements and discovering that a Wisconsin voter ID would require his obtaining his long-lost birth certificate. Dennis worked with vote writers, Wisconsin State coordinator and a volunteer attorney over the next 6 months, which was consumed with investigation and follow-up, multiple trips to government agencies. We eventually found Dennis's birth certificate, but only after discovering that the midwife who attended his birth had misspelled Dennis's name on the document. Fortunately, that very same misspelled name was able to be corroborated on by his original Social Security application. So Dennis finally received his ID to vote just in time for the election. But how many people would be able to undertake that kind of effort in order to vote? And more importantly, in a democracy, should the basic and sacred right to vote be available only to those who have easy access to documentation or the resources to track down and pay for documents buried in our Byzantine county-by-county system of vital records? And, of course, the fact that DMV and poll workers are not consistently and well-trained is a huge challenge to the proper implementation of these laws. I wanted to mention that we have created for each state, for all 50 states, in English and in Spanish, a voter ID information wallet card, and that's all freely downloadable on our site, voteriders.org. People it shows the highlights of what's required by that state, and we sure hope that people will go to our site and find those cards and print them out, or, we're looking to partner with organizations that will distribute them.
Kathleen, in the work, and I know people are sort of self-selecting to call your organization for help. Studies have shown that the voter ID laws, especially the strict ID ones, disproportionately impact Black and Latino voters. And there's been court decisions. We talked about the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals decision, which struck down North Carolina law and found it was with surgical precision that they try to disenfranchise African-American voters. And there was an April decision, a Texas federal court district judge struck it down, saying Hispanics and African-Americans, again, targeted by their laws. They're seeing racial intent to discriminate in these laws that are passed. From what you see, is the actual impact of this and people coming to you, is it also showing that it's more Black and Latinos coming to you, or do you get a cross-section?
So, yes. And the answer to your question is yes. The people who are impacted by these laws, as I said, are primarily those who don't have a current driver's license in their state. And who are these folks? They are older adults who are no longer driving. They are young adults, people going to school in another state. They're just, young people especially are not getting driver's licenses as often as they used to. They're, riding bicycles. They're taking public transportation. They're trying not to increase the carbon footprint. People with disabilities, almost one in five American adults has a physical or mental disability. That's 53 million adults. Obviously, a lot of those folks are not driving. Voters of color, absolutely, and across the board, voters with low income, plus women, because a number of states require an exact match between the name on your voter ID and the name in which you're registered to vote. 90% of women who marry change their names, so that can turn into a problem.
I didn't even think about that, the idea that if you got married and now you have a different name, that if it's not reflected on your IDs and then you want to try to vote, doesn't match, or if you try to register to vote. I didn't even think, interesting point, Kathleen. I never thought about that part.
Right. And in that case, we're talking about a name match. There's the physical, the photo match. So, you know, if a state requires the photo ID, the photo of the voter has to, you know, pretty reasonably match what they look like, okay? And then there's a signature match. So in several states, let's take Florida, if you vote without the requisite ID, the canvassing board will try to match the signature on the envelope of your provisional ballot with your original voter registration signature. People's signatures change over time. So it's really something that people may need to pay attention to.
And that's, again, something I never thought of. I mean, I've been only in two places, New York and New Jersey, and there's no voter IDs. You go in and you vote in your district. And before you came in, and if you heard it, I went through the studies and documentation that there's less than 1% of voter fraud, and the number of cases are infinitesimal. And even Chris Kobach, is the Secretary of State in Kansas, when promised and told the people in the legislature that he wants his power to prosecute people instead of 18 hard cases, and there's 100 out there, he only prosecuted 6 and only won 4, and they were all misdemeanor convictions because there's no intent of the fraud. Anyone, they were mistaken by older, they're actually all older men over 60 and older who apparently just made a mistake and voted twice. The facts don't matter. So when we hear now this Voter Fraud Commission had their first meeting yesterday, what is your concerns about what we're going to find out and ultimately their recommendations at the end of this?
Well, the concern is purging of the voter rolls, and where we at VoteWriters are, the part of it that we're particularly concerned about is that they will, with whatever they find and recommend, that it will result either on a national basis or state-by-state basis, allowing or requiring the governments to have people submit documentary proof of citizenship in order to register to vote. That's what's in place in Kansas and 3 other states, and we're very concerned that will
so if the proof of citizenship to register the vote, which would be, and some people are like, well, that's, what's the big deal? Well, what is that proof of citizenship? Because you can't just show up and go like, I was born here. That's probably not enough. You need a passport would be one way, but only about 30% of Americans have passports. So
not even.
So
yeah.
So
yeah.
So how do you prove your citizenship? If you're just a normal person, you're born here, you're living your life, you're 50 years old, you moved around to a few states. How do you prove your citizenship? You can go,
well,
look
again,
at me.
It comes back to what we were talking about before with regard to voter ID. You'd have to submit your original or certified copy of your birth certificate and the certified copy or original of the legal papers showing any name change since then. So, or your passport. Or an original passport, or your certificate of naturalization, those kinds of documents. So
I can only imagine the way.
Yeah.
If they did this, Kobach, if they had their way and passed a federal law, which I'm sure certain states would sue them, but not to get into that argument, the idea that you'd have to go line up somewhere to get your voter ID, and I just imagine people who are struggling to make ends meet, or not going to have time to miss their work to go get the ID. Many are not going to hear about it if you're not plugged into the system. Even though you like to vote, you might not be following this issue. And I have to say, and I know you're a nonpartisan organization, Kathleen, so I'm not putting you on the spot here, but if Republicans are the ones championing this, it's because there's a political upside to that party. That's common sense. That's what it tells us. So when Kris Kobach is there on this commission, and the first four speakers yesterday in this so-called bipartisan commission were all Republicans, and some of the people known for being the dark arts leaders of fraud and alarmists on it, we have to be concerned that their intentions are clear based on their track record, and that intention is disenfranchise voters who are going to vote against their party. I mean, common sense tells me that. And I don't want to, I know you're a nonpartisan organization, so it's not about that. Because if Democrats were doing this, Kathleen, you'd be working against them as well.
That's correct. And it is we are deeply concerned about what's happening with this commission because of the restrictions that could easily flow from what they're doing. But if I could come back to, back to this question about the documentary proof of citizenship to even register to vote. So, Dean, do you have a copy? Do you have an original or certified copy of your birth certificate?
Actually, I do, because I had lost my driver's license about 3 years ago. And it turned out my middle name is not what I thought my middle name was all my entire life. So I was using an alias for a long time, and I didn't know this because my parents had actually, I had the original birth certificate, and then they amended my middle name to change it. So when I went to get it, it turned out my middle name was different. So I really could have problems in other places. Now my driver's license does reflect the different middle initial, but I grew up as Dean J. Obidala. I'm really Dean A. Obidala, and I didn't know that. And I could only imagine that it was a different time I would have a problem registering to vote.
Absolutely. Or, if you were to at some point live in a state that requires, a highly restrictive voter ID, that kind of discrepancy could, be problematic for you.
And let's be honest, right? I mean, I had to go back to the city I was born in, literally the city I was born in, Paterson, New Jersey, to get it. If I was living in Arkansas now, and that's where I had to go back. Would I really pay that to fly out to New Jersey and get it? No, I just wouldn't vote. Let's be honest. I mean, that's part of this is to put a burden up for people. And I want people to vote. I want everyone to vote. I want automatic registration. You turn 18, you're registered to vote. Done. The other side doesn't want that. The other side wants to make it harder for you to vote. Their idea of democracy is an exclusive club, that if you're not going to support them, you can't join that club. So they're doing everything they can to use democracy to make that club more and more exclusive. And it is so fundamentally wrong, Kathleen. And again, you're a nonpartisan organization, but I'm telling you, I'm a Democrat. If Democrats were doing this, I'd be saying it's wrong. It's not Democrat or Republican. It's right and wrong.
It's an American issue. It's not a partisan issue. It is about the right to vote. And thank you so much for bringing this to your listeners' attention, because we would love for people to to talk with their friends and family and neighbors about what's required in their state. Again, if you go to voteriders.org, you'll find all the information that you need, including these state voter ID information cards. But it's so important. This is something practical that people can do. We have the power here to make sure that our network, our various networks, the people we know in whatever states they live in, know and feel confident that they have the right ID to vote, or if an ID is not required to vote, that they know that, so that when they go to the polling place and they're dealing with a misinformed poll worker who is asking them for their voter ID, they can say, a voter ID is not required in this state.
And that's great. And Kathleen, what can we do? If people are out there, they want to help your organization. You're a not-for-profit. You're a 501c3. What can people do to help vote writers do their work? Because it's so important, because we have to, look, we all want to change the laws. We want to take control of state legislatures and change the laws. But right now, coming up election 2017, Virginia, New Jersey has gubernatorial races, state legislature races. And then 2018, obviously, the entire House is up and a third of the Senate's up. What can we do to help you do your work? Because your work is so needed, because you're doing a practical thing. You're helping people vote within the laws we have right now so they can get out there and vote. What can we do?
So thank you for asking. Indeed, we're focusing our key. We're national, so we help in every state, but our target state this year is Virginia because it has a strict voter ID law, and we've brought on board a Vote Writers Voter ID Coalition coordinator and are working with wonderful organizations in Virginia. What people can do is, frankly, we'd be thrilled if you would make a tax-deductible donation so that we can make sure that, certainly in Virginia, but in every other state, that people have one of these voter ID information cards in their wallets so that they can feel confident that they have the right ID. If they have any questions on there, it says our toll-free number and email address to reach out to us. And so we would be, and then next year we're going to be focusing on a dozen states where they're highly competitive, congressional, Senate, and gubernatorial races. In addition to that, reaching out to your friends, neighbors, family members, make sure that they know what ID is required or that it's not. If people would sign up at votewriters.org for our email updates, we'll keep you abreast of the latest developments. Again, our toll-free helpline number is 844-338-8743. Please, spread the word.
Right. And we will. And I tweeted out at Dean of Comedy, the Twitter handle for the organization, which you'll see a picture of Kathleen right there. And you can follow them on Twitter is the least you can do. If you want to make a contribution, they're a not-for-profit organization. And if you want to get information to, if you're in an Indivisible group, we have someone on from Indivisible every week. We had someone on, Chad Bolt, yesterday on. If you're in an organization that's grassroots educating people about voting rights, here's a great group. Vote Writers can send you the information to educate people. This is what we have to do now until we can change the law to educate people now so they can vote in November this year and then more importantly, or just as importantly, next November, November 6th. So, Kathleen, thank you for making time. Went a little long, but I had a lot of questions and I want the people to hear exactly your work and what people are confronting out there in the real world. Voter ID laws have an impact in the real world. The consequences, people who voted their entire lives can't vote now because the Republicans have a plan to disenfranchise them, and that's part of the problem. But Kathleen, thanks for being on tonight. I appreciate it.
Dean, thank you so much. You're just a tremendous patriot to air this. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank your listeners. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
So,